This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Riley had knocked down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! T-Boy, we're rolling here at the lineup!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who is starting to smell the grass clippings and getting ready for football season, Mr. Steve Sell.
Yeah, going down to the shrine.
Can you smell it yet?
Well, the fake grass clippings.
The turf.
The turf.
The rubber pellets.
Yeah, it was really fun, though, to be on the sidelines at the Shrine Bowl the other night and stand on the sidelines of the West team and watch the in-game strategy, watch some of the hitting. And people don't realize it unless you're on the field, just how intense some of that hitting was. It was both teams really got after it on Saturday.
Well, speaking of people that are on the sideline and on the field a lot, we have a very special guest in studio today, and that is McPherson College head football coach Paul Merkowitz. Coach Merk, glad to have you on.
Thanks, man.
Well, we're getting close to getting into the grind of football season, but I don't think the grind of football season really ever stops for you. I think you're going about 12 months a year, and you're coming up on the most important part of this season and getting it going here in the month of August. What all have you been doing this summer while everybody else is laying back dreaming about football? You've had to have been going to work and getting everything ready to go for August 8th.
Well, we've been a little busier than usual. Recruiting is always ongoing, and if it's not for 18, it's for 19, and we've really still been trying to add some guys and some components and pieces to this class, as well as preparing, you know, for the 19 class. We've run two what we call ID camps or prospect camps, where we bring guys in, and really it's a opportunity. We don't really instruct. What we more do is it's a combine style camp where they're going to go through about eight different tests that they do, from the 40 to the vertical jump to you name it, height, weight, all that kind of stuff, and just so we can get some documentation on those players going into 19. And so those were extremely productive. We have had quite a bit of staff change. Actually, we've had an entire staff change. If you go back to April, Coach E.J. Peterson, who's been here for, I think was here for 5.5 years.
Right.
E.J. had an opportunity to go back home to Grandview where he played. I believe he's an All-American there. Coached the linebackers, him and his wife, starting a family, and they're back closer to both their families. Very excited for them and what they're doing. And so that kind of started the first piece. Coach Van Houten, who is our secondary coach and really the senior coach on staff, had been here 6.5 years, took over as the defensive coordinator. We went through the spring. Coach Kinchlau, who was our offensive line coach for the last 2.5 years, same thing. Just really had an opportunity to go back home. He's from Georgetown, Texas. Better situation for his family and the things that he needed to get done. And so he left. That was right after the Blake Reed run. Mm-hmm. He had contacted me and let me know. And so we were kind of starting to hire guys, and we had hired a secondary coach and hired an offensive line coach. And then right after the 4th of July, Justin Van Houten had decided to get into the private sector and go back to Iowa where he's from and be closer to his family and get out of coaching and do that. And so then it was a matter of getting a defensive coordinator in here. We had to replace Michael Ramos, who was had finished his graduate assistant position. We were able to do that and add a few positions as well. So we are really excited about where the staff is going. It's been a lot of work. You know, you usually don't spend the month of July
coaching your coaches.
Coaching, yeah, and that's what it's been. And so we've done that and wrapped up recruiting and you know, retained our players very well. And, you know, we'll continue to recruit for the next week and report next Wednesday and go from there.
And you've been pretty fortunate. You know, I've covered the KCAC for 40 years. A lot of staffs change almost every year, turnover right. every year. You've had pretty much right. the same staff. You know, since you've been here. But sometimes new ideas, new blood mm-hmm. can have a very positive influence. Mm-hmm. And Jim and I came out, met your guys, and I think there's going to be a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Some of those guys really come across as high-energy guys, mm-hmm. and I think it's going to be a real positive for you. And, you know, you're going to be looking at different things. And also, from a recruiting standpoint, they may mm-hmm. have contacts that mm-hmm. your other assistants didn't. You may be exploring right. different avenues.
Right. And I think, and you're hitting it right on the head. I'm not Coach Peterson, Coach Van Houten, Coach Kinchla, those guys, that was 2.5 years all together. And like right. I said, EJ and Justin had been here 5.5 and 6.5 years, respectively. And so...
And Coach Ramos had been in the program
yes.
as a player.
Yes, a five-year
so, I mean,
guy.
He, yeah,
two, yeah,
right.
And that was – so, I mean, it's just it all came at one time, mm-hmm. you know. And it's funny because I was talking to Coach Pav over at the high school, and I made that mistake. I remember exactly where I was at. I was at my kitchen table, and we were talking on the phone, and I said, I haven't had to hire a guy in 2.5 years, and I knocked on wood and mm-hmm. – I didn't get the right part of wood, apparently, because so all of a sudden things went out. And so he kind of jokes around with me about it, and so do I, because that's always, you know, you want to get the right guys. And I think the high-energy guys right now and the guys that the when you go into a new situation like we did 4 years ago, or going into our fourth year, some coaches will go in there and they'll blow that staff up and they bring mm-hmm. in all guys they want,
mm-hmm.
okay? And there were guys that I was talking to and things like that, but I just didn't feel like it was worth the change for the quality of coach that we were getting. Those are very good coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've almost kind of gone backwards. You know, we started with 15 kids. We had about 55. You know, we go through the spring. You know, we're close to 60. We're anticipating being right about 100. And now we're bringing in the new staff.
Right.
So it's going to be exciting. I think our guys are going to like it on both sides of the ball. And like you said, just a new – you're saying the same thing. You're just saying it with a different energy.
Right.
And that's important.
And for those that don't know, I'll give you a little history.
Ooh, here we go.
Yeah, historian. When Coach Mark got here, he basically was – it just equated to an expansion team in the NFL
mm-hmm.
because he had about 18 guys left over. The squad
– I heard it was a heck of a spring game.
Yeah, he was. But the squad from the year before didn't have really a lot of numbers to begin
mm-hmm.
with,
mm-hmm.
and then a lot of guys had been around, and you know they didn't want to go through another coaching change because we had kind of a little run there of coaches
right.
didn't stay very long. So basically there were about 18 guys there. And your first year – you were basically a junior varsity team
mm-hmm.
playing varsity. If I mean, that's being blunt.
Right.
But you started 11 to 12 freshmen every game.
Yes.
But one thing that's been a positive, the victory totals improved every year, and the retention has been outstanding. You got a lot of guys that were here that first year, and
right.
they're going to be here for their – this will be their senior
yeah.
year. And
yeah.
You're going from basically no seniors to a nice senior class. But it really has been like an expansion team.
Right.
And you've just built as you've gone along. And really the last 2 years, the records aren't indicative of how
mm-hmm.
well
mm-mm.
you've played. You've been a great team for three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But I think your lack of depth
right.
has led to a lot of those losses. But you have played, you know, the Tabers and Sterlings of the world. You
mm-hmm.
played them. I mean, I think Tabor last year, that was like almost a tie game at half. Or
we were tied in the fourth.
Tied early. It was 29-29,
yeah.
I think, and ended up like 46-29. But
right.
Your
Kansas
start.
Kansas Wesleyan.
Yeah. Oh, Kansas Wesleyan was like 28. You were up 28-7, if I recall, in that game. And, of course, they went on to win 10 games. So you've been on the cusp.
Mm-hmm.
So this fourth year, this is going to be – I think this is a very important year because you're fine. This is your – these are all your guys now.
Every one of these guys.
Every one of these are all your guys.
Me, yep.
And now I'm sure you're going to really elaborate on recruiting and who you've brought in. But
right. Well, you know.
That's a joke between us because he doesn't tell me anything.
As we get there. But you know what? To reiterate, and as the historian that you are, I challenge you on this.
Ooh.
Okay. Find me a player that in 3 years has started 31 straight games. At the college level.
There's not many.
Logan Anderson, our starting left tackle, has started every game from his freshman year on.
The only one I can think of is Tanner Hawkinson, McPherson High grad that went to KU. He started 48 straight games. That's about the only one I can think of.
That's rare.
Yeah. That is rare.
Yeah.
So well, we wanted to talk with you about this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, whenever we went to your office last week, we talked a little bit about the hit Netflix series, Last Chance U. And Steve's got his personal connection to it, being a former indie pirate. What were your impressions of that show? I mean, as a football coach watching it, it's got to be a little bit of a different mindset than, let's say, some people like Steve and I watching the show. What were you thinking while watching that show?
Okay, I haven't. All I have is heard about it. If I had $10 for everybody that's asked me about it and where I've been, we'd be able to put a dome over there at the stadium. You know, here's where my thing comes with that, and I don't. Like I said, I haven't seen it. I've just heard how it is. When I first got into coaching, there was a guy that told me. He said, you know, every movie that has, and if you think about it, every movie that has something to do with football, it really makes the coach look out of place, dumb. I mean, you think about every football movie from North Dallas 40 to
Waterboy.
Yeah, I mean, it's always it's the same thing, you know. And so that's always my
Fonzie.
That's always my first thought. You know, it's a TV show, so I mean, I guess it's partly entertainment. I'm assuming the school is getting some type of money that goes along with that.
Yeah.
But I have talked to some of the junior college coaches across the state of Kansas because we still have a good relationship. And heck, I've hired one, Coach McCoy's from Coffeyville, Kansas, and offensive line coach is from a junior college down in Mississippi. That's not what every junior college is. It's not even in the neighborhood. So I feel bad for those guys. I you'll see some things out on Twitter every now and again, and a coach will put it and say, enjoy the show, but – this is not what it's like.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as much as I want all the high school kids to look at four-year schools, I know the guys at Hutch. I know the guys at Coffeyville. I know the guys at other places. I don't know this guy per se, but you know, the thing that I've told people, and it's like anything else, if you're offended by what you're watching, shut it off.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, and
it's,
so
but it's almost like when they say it's like watching a train wreck.
Yeah.
You can't turn away from it.
Yeah. So I like that's my two cents on it. I haven't, from what I understand, if the language is that bad, I don't have that much time on my hands where I'm away from my kids watching TV, so they don't need to hear it.
One of the things I took away from it and that I thought was interesting is not as much what he's saying while they're sitting in his office or what he's saying in practice, but kind of the way that he interacted with the guys in game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to watch just the things that he would say to some of these guys in game. Because in the practice field, in the weight room, it's a little bit, I think, more open. Mm-hmm. But in game, it just feels like it should be more serious and locked in. And he's just running around the sideline finding guys to yell at.
Yeah.
And it would just be interesting to watch that. And then turn around and I would find it interesting to watch what you do on the sidelines and compare that. And that was one of the things I think as a coach you would look at and go, I can't believe that he handled it that way.
Right.
And some of the things that he's saying to his coaches. I think your assistant coaches, after watching that, and then we'll be going through a couple of games with you here in the next month or two, will go, hey, I'm sure glad I have Coach Merck and not Coach Brown.
Right. You know, and I think it's it sounds like, and again, and I haven't seen it. You know, I played football a long time ago. I was a bad Division III football player, but enjoyed my time. But at that point, coaches motivated through fear.
Mm-hmm.
You were physically afraid of your coach, okay? In 2018, if you want to motivate a young man to get out of his comfort zone and do the best that he possibly and be the best that he possibly can be, he's got to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a relationship. And yes, we're intense, and yes, there are times where something comes out of my mind and I want to grab it before anybody even hears it.
Mm-hmm.
That's human nature. That's every right. parent. That's every person.
Mm-hmm.
But we stay away from that because you're not getting anything. You're just wasting your energy. You know, and there's, we talk to recruits about this all the time. You know, you've played for coaches that you won't do a thing for, and you've played for coaches that you'd run through a wall for. You know, I go back again because everybody in the community, Coach Pav, those kids.
In Pav we trust.
To say somebody at some point they put in Merck we trust, you know, those kids will do it because that doesn't mean there's not a time to teach and a way to teach it.
Yeah.
But just cussing the guy up and down doesn't,
yeah.
Outside of taking your frustrations out on somebody, doesn't really do you any good.
It's been interesting to watch, and we even got Steve to watch it. He didn't know what Netflix was 2 weeks ago, and now he has watched an entire season. So we're getting him there.
Yeah.
Did you think when you first met Steve that he would ever get on Netflix, Twitter?
I don't know what Netflix is. I don't have it. So my wife and kids though. I couldn't find it on the TV if you made it. So.
Well, we're joined in studio this afternoon by McPherson College football coach Paul Merkowitz. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we'll start to talk a little bit more about this upcoming season and not as much about Jason Brown and the Indy Pirates. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and joined by McPherson College football coach Paul Merkowitz. We're almost there, just over a month. August 31st is the first high school game. September 1, the college season gets underway for you guys. First off, the schedule this year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about this schedule? What do you not like about this schedule? I like to ask that with coaches because some years it lines up great. Some years it doesn't. Some years it's kind of down the middle.
And one of the things you're going to get with me, and Steve knows, I'm game by game. The first thing I would say is I like where our bye week sits because it allows us to go 2.5 weeks, camp, play 3 games, re-energize. You know, this is the first time we've had a floating bye, and it really works out okay for us.
Yeah, you look at Bethany. I think theirs is the last week.
Yes.
Man, what good does that do you?
Well, if you're in the playoffs, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
You got a week to get yourself ready,
yeah,
or if you know you're in. But, yeah, it's so that's nice to just get a little break to re-energize and do that kind of stuff. Because our guys, really, they come in – we report next Wednesday on the 8th, and our guys are going to be at it. Our kids can't go home for Labor. They're not going home. We don't take off for Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll do some things with the team, but it's not the same as going home and spending some time with your family and stuff like that. But we will generate it where after that third game, we're going to give them about 3 days off, you know, and then bring them back the following weekend. And so that's the first thing that I look at. I look at our travel, Avila for the first time. I've never been there. I just know they don't have lights.
It's a heck of a facility.
I just know they don't have lights. And
it's a big green slab of turf with a baseball field on one end, a softball field on one end, and a football field in there.
Let's just say you'll play at better places.
Okay. Okay. And that's, you know, I just, with last year, with all the lightning and stuff that we had beginning part of the season, we get out there, what do? You can't, you know, and so I think that game is set for 1 o'clock, where I really would rather play it at 3 because it's just a longer trip for us. But, you know, those are the two things that really stand out. I mean, but Bethany's right. They've been on our mind since camp.
And you get them at home to open. What a way to start the season, your county rival at home on your own turf.
Yep.
First game of the year. One advantage, they will have played a game.
Yes.
They will have played Benedictine.
Right.
And – you know, that's going to be a tough game for them. Benedictine's generally, I think they're nationally ranked going into the season.
Right.
But they will have that game under their – but again, though, the thing that's your advantage, you haven't played a game and they don't know what you're going to do.
Right.
I mean, they can look at film from last year, but from season to season, there's always changes. So,
yeah.
And you'll know what they're doing because you'll see a film on the first game.
Yeah, like I said, I think they've got a chance. I don't know. You get a better idea on Friday, even though we're all tongue-in-cheek in terms of who's coming back and things like that. But, you know, I felt like they were really talented a year ago at the skill positions, you know, and so I don't know who's all come back, and they don't really know anything about us. And then who's new coming in? You know, everybody's got that five-star blue-chip guy that was supposed to go to USC, and all of a sudden now he's at Bethany. USC always kind of
– yeah.
You take that with a grain of salt. But
when you look at your team – coming into this year, what would you say is probably the strength of your team?
You know, I think it across the board, I mean, I really like our skill guys and what we've been able to do. You know, I think for us to have two quarterbacks that can run our offense at a pretty efficient, high level, they're two different guys. You know, and they're both
quarterbacks that have been a KCAC Player of the Week. So that tells you what kind of talent they got.
Right. And you know, if you go back 2 years ago, Tabor won a conference championship playing two quarterbacks in the same game. So that's not to say we're going to go in that direction, but to have that availability, you know, it's always nice to – who's your backup? I don't know, but I don't have a problem if he's got to go in, you know. And so – I feel good about that, but I also do really feel good at linebacker, you know, and in the offensive and defensive line. I mean, these guys, like I said, you've got Logan Anderson, 31 starts, David Deremy, who's been starting since he was a freshman. Now he's missed a couple of games with some injuries. You know, you've got Jonas Benegas, who started almost all 10 games for us last year. We get a Mose back who had to sit out last year.
Right.
So, I mean, there's so many things in there. You know, Jackson Goodmiller is as tough as a young man as I've been around. I think we talked the other day. I for the older listeners, he reminds me of Lenny Dykstra. And he has a baseball background, but he's nails, man. Anything
he's
you need him to do. And he'll take a shot and he'll kind of just wipe it off and get back and go and figure it out. And but I tell you at backer, you know, the addition of Colin Gehring is, I think he's going to be an unbelievable football player.
Colin Gehring, of course, the McPherson High grad, you know, earned some honorable mention All State, could very well have been a Shrine Bowl player.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, he had that kind of talent. So you've got him and Ben Nickel.
Ben Nickel,
every time Jim and I see Ben Nickel, it's like he's grown another inch or something. So and he can play a variety of positions for you.
Yes, and he's gonna play a receiver for us. At least that's where we're going to start. Dynamite players. They said our D-line has a bunch of experience. I mean, Chandler Tisby's going into his third season. Started all of them, you know, and Joey Hale returns for 2 years. I mean, we've got some additions, and I know I'm forgetting guys, but really excited about that. On the back end, we added a corner in the spring by the name of Brandon Wright, because we really just felt we had to get better there.
Right.
And we have gotten better there with some of the new players that are coming in. Cole Calkins returns for his senior year. You know, Cole has played a lot, you know, and so, and then, I mean, you look at, I think we've gotten, they're both going to be first-year players, but kicking, which, as you know, if you go back to that first year, is a huge part of, is a huge part of what you got to get done, and I think we've got two kickers that can really do a good job. RJ Garza back punting again for his third straight year. I mean, it's just, it's so nice to talk about seniors.
Yeah.
You know, and those things. But a lot of the incoming guys, I think, are going to have a chance to have an impact. Myron Moncur, who you never really got a chance to really see play last year, really just battled injury from the jump. You know, I think he's had a great – he's been here all summer, hasn't missed a workout, and I know he's been working really hard. Tanner Williams is coming off a knee surgery.
He was having a great year when he got hurt.
Yep. I mean, he picked off a ball in the Kansas Wesleyan game and really turned the tide for us and got us going a little bit. But he'll be back. So it's just fitting all the pieces in and doing the things that you need to do and kind of going from there. So if there's one thing, I don't know that I'd put my finger on it. I just think as a team, I think we've just got an opportunity to be a lot better.
We're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, we'll wrap things up, sort of get a schedule for what's coming up for you guys for the next 3 weeks getting ready for, well, 3-4 weeks getting ready for the first game of the season. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening at midkansasonline.com. We're joined in studio this afternoon by McPherson College football coach Paul Merkowitz. We're talking all about how this season's right around the corner. Football, you're starting to smell it. We're going to start hearing whistles over at McPherson Stadium. But what's the schedule look like for not only the players, but for you guys as a staff? Getting ready for September 1 to take on Bethany.
Well, we've started, obviously, preparation. The whole staff has been here for about 2 weeks and just kind of, you know, doing the things we need to do. But we'll report next Wednesday, and that's really just a check-in day. Let guys get acclimated, get them in their dorms, get to Walmart, go to the bank, get a checking account. You know, figure out that you need a Verizon phone because your AT&T phone isn't, and changing some things over and just getting acclimated. We'll have a meeting that night with the team to go through policies and procedures. And then the next day for us is all physicals, insurance, impact tests for pre-concussion and those types of things. So we need to make sure we do all that. But the NAI has adopted the NCAA rule where you have that acclimation period. And so Thursday we'll go one practice, just helmets, and that'll really more just be, to be honest, here's how we stretch, here's how we form run, here's where your individual areas. These are our EDDs, everyday drills that we do by position, and that'll be it, you know. And then the next day we'll get more involved, a little bit of weight room testing, more now position-specific meetings. We'll go that evening. Going helmets again, more just getting used to knowing what we're doing and where we're going, terminology, that kind of stuff. Saturday we'll get through our sports information piece, social media, pictures,
bios,
all that stuff. And now we're able to go helmets and shoulder pads. So we'll have a little bit more meetings. bang around a little bit, but not too much. I mean, we want to kind of work our way through the pride. It doesn't do us any good to get a young man hurt on the 10th or 11th of August for a game, you know, and so you always have that fine line, you know, I got to get things put in, but at the same time, let's let guys get through it because we want our first-year students to also have a chance to compete, you know, and they don't, you show them a playbook and they don't know what anything means. You know, and so
like if you gave it to me,
right? I mean, that's I mean, and that's you know, so that's part of that acclimation process. Sunday, like every other Sunday, we give the guys the morning off, give them an opportunity to, if they want to get the mass or do whatever they want to do, or need to do, and then we'll go in the afternoon. We'll take a team picture. Going back actually Saturday. We'll barbecue over at the park and, you know, just kind of have a team event just to continue to everybody get to know everybody and that kind
team
of stuff.
Team bonding.
Yeah. I mean, and that's – our guys, our upperclassmen have done a great job the last couple of years. They realize that – and we approach it that, hey, at some point, you're going to need this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you better get to know him.
Right.
Because you can't ask him to do something, you know, to help you win a game – if you have no relationship with them. And so that's really what those 4 days or three, 4 days are about. That Monday, then we can have a single practice in full gear. We'll start introducing special teams and then we can go two practices, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Friday orientation starts. And so we step away from a football standpoint and everybody goes through orientation. We have nothing really.
You know, people have to remember they're students first, athletes
absolutely
second.
Absolutely.
I forgot about that school part.
But that's, I mean, and that's what we've tried to, as a staff, tried to sell here. Your ultimate job going to college is to make yourself more marketable than what you are now. You know, if you can make $125,000 a year coming out of high school, don't go to college.
Yeah.
You can't. So, and I do think football helps make you more marketable. Because, you know, you're goal oriented. You never quit. You finish things. You know, you can be pushed. You know, employers that I talk to, they want to hire athletes, and a lot of them want to hire football players just because of that. And yeah. So, there's some value to that as we go along. And then, the next week we start school, and we've got about 2 weeks, and we're just on our regular schedule and getting ready for Bethany on the 1st at 7:00.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Steve and I. Well, you get to deal with Steve enough, but now you get to deal with me on a regular basis, so I'm sorry. But I think we're going to have a fun fall.
I think we are. I think you're going to see a fun brand of football. I think you're going to see some different things defensively than what you've seen. A little bit more attacking style, and as Steve knows and he'll tell you, nobody throws the ball vertical more than I do. So, yep. you kind of go from there. So, but... we're going to try and get up and down the field and win some games and do it the right way.
Coach Paul Merkowitz, McPherson College football, September 1, taking on the Swedes of Bethany. And we are looking forward to it. We were glad to have you in today, and now you're officially a friend of the show.
Thank you very much.
I think you were before, but now officially. I
very much appreciate it.
All right, Steve, tomorrow I think we've got some things to catch up on, a little bit of the MLB trade deadline that's been going on for the last 24 hours and all sorts of moves being made.
Yeah, my Cardinals have turned into sellers. They've already made two deals getting rid of guys. So
then we'll get you ready for your trip up to Chicago and also to Milwaukee to play a little golf. And then I get to go get my wisdom teeth taken out on Thursday. Ugh. Not
Steve,
looking forward
Steve,
to it.
Steve, find yourself a place that has a great beef sandwich when you're in Chicago.
Oh, I'm sure we
yep.
will.
Yep.
We got it. Yeah, we've got a guy that knows his way around.
So. I bet Steve will be able to find it.
There you go.
We wrap up the show for Paul Merkowitz, for Steve Sell. I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.